Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What was the first film you remember watching?
First film I remember, one, Brighton Odeon, Seafront Cinema, that's gone now. It was in the lanes, of Brighton Lanes, Odeon, and it was E.T. That was
Oh,
first.
Same here, that's my first.
Oh, really? God, that's
Isn't
really
that,
interesting.
Do you know it's 40 years this year?
God, that would make... God, that's... Is it really 40 years?
I think so.
Yes, it would be, yeah, so I would have been like four. I'd have been four. That makes absolute sense.
You were four?
Yes, I'm 44 now, so I'd be four.
Do you remember going to...
Yeah, I think I did. So I'd have been maybe four turning five, and I would have, it would have been my first year at primary school. So I
remember that. Yeah, my first memory is E.T. Whether it's the first film, can't be the first, but my first memory is sitting watching E.T. and crying at the end as an eight-year-old.
Yeah, I remember being in absolute tears. And then I remember, yeah, massively. And then I remember watching it again on pirate video. Did you watch any pirate videos in the 80s? They were
never did that.
No, quite illegal that. You don't get involved in that racket, Edwards. You want to avoid that. But they were really exciting when you when someone on your street had a pirate video.
Oh yeah.
And they'd filmed it in like a cinema in Tokyo or New York, not them, but whoever did, and then
Driller Killer.
It. Yeah, oh god, yeah, all the video nasties. Evil
Have you
Dead.
Watched those?
Some of them, Evil Dead, Spit on My Grave, things like that. When I was a kid, I didn't watch them. I probably watched them, I don't know, probably 14, 15, and I found them very scarring. I was definitely that kid that wouldn't be able to sleep for a week. I remember RoboCop and being scarred.
Never seen RoboCop.
It's worth watching. It's very, very dark in places.
Is it worth
really...
watching?
No, RoboCop's definitely worth watching. It's quite humorous in places, quite dark comedy about kind of consumer America, kind of lots of adverts in between the RoboCop action sequences. So you see they're kind of like all the kind of like video games they're selling are ultra violent, and it's this society that's based around gun crime and things like that. It's kind of humorous in a sort of 2000 AD dark graphic novel kind of vibe, but lots of dark things like... you know, people being shot up in corporate conference rooms.
I thought you were going to say shot up the arse.
Well, you do get stuff like that in there.
Well, someone gets shot up the arse.
Someone gets, I don't know, they get shot up the arse, but you see him, for some reason, arses are appearing in my head because a guy's caught with like three prostitutes doing loads of cocaine. I remember seeing this at 11. There's always a dodgy kid in your street. That whose parents would just say, there's the Blockbuster car, just get out of my life.
I don't want my boys watching they're 11.
No. Looking back, you know, I could see my head rewiring with this kind of... And my parents would have let me, but I'd go around this guy's house.
Who is this guy?
What is he called? Christopher Brace. I think I've mentioned him before, too.
You have. Where is he now?
I bumped into him, and he's quite a well-built bloke. You know where you don't know if he's gone to the gym... Or he's just eating too many burgers. It's that bizarre mixture. And he's got a massive tattoo of a cobra going down one arm. And but very polite, very civilized. Yeah. Bizarrely, he's a lawyer. But he's got a cobra snake coming down his arm. So I don't know what that's about. Maybe he's trying to bond with the inmates when he goes into the jail to chat to them, unlike you, as he rolls up his sleeves.
David Edwards Movie News.
So, David.
Yes.
Any movie news this week?
Movie news, I definitely say this week, which is an interesting one for July and August, is, I mean, the big question that everyone's got at the moment is cinema dead? Okay. And at the moment, they say it's not the case because Tom Cruise's Maverick's made loads and loads of money. You know, they think it's going to gross potentially a billion. He's made, you know, it's already gross over like 100 million. But they say, don't get too excited because the real barometer of that's going to be July and August. Because people like Netflix are bringing out massive films, big, big budget films with big directors, big stars, straight to streaming. And they think, will that just take people, you know, away from the cinema full stop? And it is ludicrous. I mean, you've got a massive new spy movie called The Gray Man, starring Chris Evans, Ryan Gosling. It's got a over $100 million budget. It's directed by the Russo brothers, who directed the Avenger films. And it's just going, I think it's going to have a theatrical window of 1 weekend. So it can be considered for Oscars type of thing. But that wouldn't be for best film. That would be for like editing and sound. It's not an Oscar movie. They'll just be dumped straight onto a
streaming service. I think people are going to rebel against all this soon. I think they're going to go back to the cinemas. They're going to look for the magic in their life.
I don't think, I think you're completely right. I don't think cinema will die because people want to get out. They want to do things. Maybe what happened is cinema will become a specific genre of filmmaking. Mm. So it'll be like, you know, you won't go and see a Seth Rogen comedy anymore at the cinema.
Oh, interesting.
Have to be an experience.
That's a nice thought. Yeah. Okay. But does that mean it's going to be big, loud and brash to be in the cinemas?
Yes. I think cinema.
Oh, come on.
I know. I think potentially, I mean, not all films, but I think the majority of them. It'll be like the cinema will be like going to see an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical.
I like watching lovemaking on a big screen.
Well, that's an experience, isn't it? So who knows? I mean, that's what IMAX was invented for, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Just seeing tender moments on a close-up. You know, nothing X-rated, just like a kiss on the lips. No, cherry
just
lips.
Kissing. Yeah, and shoulders and stuff.
Yeah, just shoulders and just glistening lips.
Now, well, I hadn't been to cinema for years to do with due to COVID and children. And
what was the last thing you saw before that? Forcing your own?
I don't know. No idea.
I remember you saying you saw Gravity and you got a lot out of that.
I did like that. I went twice.
Twice? Really? A real fan of that one? Wow.
Yeah, I think I remember the second time going, seen this.
Well, it's like a roller coaster, isn't it? Once you've done it once. I've done that with films. I've gone back to the cinema to see it. I thought, well, you should have just waited for the DVD.
I forgot about Gravity. That was a hell of an experience in the big room.
Gravity is where, I don't need to point it out because it was a massive success and everything, but I think that's more and more the funnel cinema's going to go down. That sort of thing where, you know, you can watch it at home if you want, but you're not going to have the full experience.
No,
type of thing.
No.
It's an experience, basically.
David Edwards Movie Review.
Okay, so movie review this week. We did the old random film generator.
Yes.
And we came up with three movies, which you had to pick blindfolded. You picked...
Certainly did. Silverado.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh,
yes, a Wild fantastic. West. A Wild West 80s classic.
Oh, I forgot it was that one. Go on.
I would say Silverado, so came out mid-80s.
I'm really excited about this.
Sorry, what's that?
I'm really excited, yeah.
It's a very interesting one. Basically, it's... if you go on the... It didn't do amazing in the box office, but if you go on the internet, there's a lot of love for it, type of thing, as a Western.
Written by...
It's written, directed by Lawrence Kasdan.
Yeah, who
and
did?
He's the guy who wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Wow.
Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
He also did like a family comedy that he directed and wrote called The Big Chill in the 80s that did really well. But you can tell why he was employed by the studios to do it, because you can tell the plan behind Silverado is, let's take golden age 1930s, 1940s Hollywood entertainment and bring it to, well, what was a modern audience in the 80s, doing basically exactly what he did with Raiders of the Lost Ark, with B-movie adventure films and Star Wars, kind of, Flash Gordon 40s, kind of like serial films.
Okay.
And he kind of pulls it off. I would say it's good stuff. It definitely does not have any sort of like social commentary like Dancing with Wolves or a dark, gritty undertone like Unforgiven. It's what your dad would call a cowpuncher. A proper daytime TV sort of thing you would see on a Sunday afternoon just after Grandstand. You know, lots of shootouts, a proper wholesome, full-out Saturday matinee.
So what's that about?
Basically, very similar to Magnificent Seven. Four men come together. It's more about bromance than ladies. You've got ladies in the background, but it's all about men loving men. And they're off to Silverado for their different destinies and aspirations to start new lives. And they meet each other on their way to Silverado. And they've all got a...
So do you meet the men separately?
And yes, then they you do.
Okay.
You see Scott Glenn going along. Scott Glenn was in things like Right Stuff Backdraft, the fire movie, you know, about the fire brigade in America. You see him along, go along his horse. He starts off with him having a massive shootout, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, massive shootout. Then he finds Kevin Kline. Kevin Kline is on the floor without any clothes, just a onesie. He's had his gun, hat and horse stolen, so he helps Kevin Kline. Then he goes to a town, and the town is run by John Cleese as a sheriff, which is very bizarre.
Oh.
And John Cleese's accent, I can't tell if he's an American or British person. Very bizarre.
Obviously,
Python films were just airing in America there, and he was getting, you know, known. And they've got to then break free Kevin Costner, who's Scott Kline, what's his name?
Kevin Kline.
Kevin Costner. And sorry, I've got their names. What a disaster. It's Scott Glenn, that's it. Scott Glenn, his brother is Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
And Kevin Kline's hanging along with him because he's picked him up because he's horseless, which isn't a good situation as a cowboy. And then they get Kevin Costner out of prison, and it's a three. Then they meet Danny Glover, and they meet each other on the way. Four of them as they go to Silverado.
Yeah, so they're all okay. Let's listen to a clip of Silverado.
Check it out.
You're wearing my hat. What else you got that's mine?
Mister, I don't know what you're talking about.
I hope your fingers aren't tickling my ivory-handled Colt. You stand up real slow and let me see. You might live through this night. Big mistake.
That's what I told him.
Okay. So, does he pull it off? Does Kazdan pull it off?
It's good fun. There's big action sequences.
I'm sensing a... Not really.
Not 100%.
Oh, bugger! Why?
Well, they've got to bring down the big gangster at the end, who's the... It's John Demme, you know, the guy... I'm terrible with my names. I keep forgetting all my names here. Which is a complete casualty. My description of the film was appalling as well. What's this guy's
name? Were on Radio 5
it'd just
now.
Be a disaster. I think they just cut to Kevin.
Can you imagine, though? People listening in their car, for fuck's sake, just tell us about the movie. Who is this new guy?
They cut to Eric Clapton, and I'd be asked to leave. And then after the song...
I don't think they play music. I think it's all on you here.
I think it literally is, so just be dead air. Brian Dennehy, who is the villain in Rambo, the sheriff in that.
Yeah, first
one.
He's
also the corrupt sheriff in Silverado, who these four men are coming together because they've all got a vendetta against him.
So why doesn't he quite pull it off?
Doesn't quite pull it off. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes. It's too long.
Okay.
Loads of potential, but it should be a 90-minute, because that's the sort of film it is. It's a very kind of on the surface. I mean, Lawrence Kasdan in interviews even calls it postmodern in the sense that it's a homage to cowboy films than being an actual cowboy film type of thing. And it is all very surface. It's just like, you know, basic generic shootouts. It's good fun. And also an amazing Clark cast. You've got Danny Glover, Kevin Kline, Kevin Costner, the other chap whose name I can never remember, because he's not a big A-list star, unfortunately, but he has been in big films. Then you've got Jeff Goldblum turns up as one of the town people in the background. John Cleese, Rosanna Arquette.
I was really hoping you were going to say this is a hidden masterpiece.
It's good. It is good. And I think some people are perhaps less critical, but it just went on. It overstayed its welcome. It's like the new Batman film. I really loved elements of that, but it went on for like 2.5 hours. And it's like, you know, you can have your best friend over for a cup of tea, but sometimes they just don't leave. It's like, this is going brilliantly at one point. I was really enjoying this, but...
Yeah. Is that what you're like after 2 hours with someone?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like you've eaten all the hobnobs now. We've had a coffee. The caffeine's, you know, giving me a downer now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean? It's like,
yeah. So were there any scenes within the film where you're like, this is good, this feels like him at his best?
Absolutely. There is a scene that's really famous because the internet's amazing. There's like a massive, because there's a lot of following for the film. There's like an hour-long documentary on the making of Silverado, which is quite incredible. And one thing they look at is there's a massive cattle situation where cattle stampede, that is very action-packed. It's like where, you know, you're introduced to Danny Glover's character. And it got so out of control filming it that they actually did turn into a stampede. And it brought down the entire set. And when the cast and crew were interviewed, it's like they're survivors from a hurricane. They were really like, this is like... First of all, they're thinking, oh my God, well, you know, we're going to go over budget now. And secondly, they're thinking about the safety of their own lives. No one died, but I think people were trampled on and all that.
It looks good on screen.
Looks really good. It's like, wow, this is like National Geographic. This is like a documentary. This is impressive. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got like the cattle running towards the camera. And it's like, wow, that's impressive. Because at the time, I didn't know that it got out of control. But obviously, you know, they were apparently picking up smashed cameras. They had great footage in the cameras, but to do that, they had to demolish all their equipment unknowingly, type of thing. So you've got loads of like immersive camera work there, you know, which cost ridiculous amount because they unknowingly created and then filmed this massive stampede.
Right.
The shootout's good at the beginning, sorry, at the end, and there's a good beginning shootout which goes straight into the action. It's basically fast paced, massive shootout. Then we find Kevin Kline, you know, in the middle of the desert. Yeah, Kevin Costner didn't want to actually play that role at all. He said that it wasn't like movie star persona enough, but he said he's glad he did now. He said that, you know, he wanted to be either Kevin, he wanted to play Kevin Kline's role.
There's loads of Kevins and Costners and Klines. It's a very confusing cast.
Very confusing, particularly if you're the person putting the poster together.
Yeah. So, how many Choc Ices out of 5 you're going to give Silverado?
I would say 3 Choc Ices.
I knew it.
It's just capable stuff.
So I'm never going to watch it. I'm never going to watch it then.
I know. It is a shame. It is a shame. I mean, I don't know if I said earlier, the reason it didn't do well at the box office, it came out the first week. It came out the same week as Back to the Future.
Did it?
Yeah, and it just didn't get, you know, a second. Because Back to the Future was just hellfire type of thing. It was just like, you know.
Oh, wow. The timing of it. Although, I guess if it was good enough, the cream would have risen to the top, possibly.
Absolutely. It's got to be said. And, you know, surely there's room for two. There's lots of two classics that have come out the same week or month. So it would have made some money, but it just didn't make, I don't think, any at all. And also, the Western's a funny one, isn't it? It's a genre that really goes in and out of vogue. Massively.
Right.
Whereas high school kind of comedy / sci-fi, that's a genre that's always stayed, you know, sort of relevant with the public. And also Back to the Future. I mean, God, that was like the 80s version of It's a Wonderful Life, wasn't it? That was just the zeitgeist, you know, lightning in a bottle. It's just incredible, that film.
So Silverado, David Edwards gives it 3 Choc Ices out of 5.
Absolutely. Great stampede scene.
David Edwards movie tip.
So, David, you got any movie tips this week? Or a book, anything, absolutely anything.
I tell you one movie tip I've got, and I feel embarrassed saying this, and as soon as I say it, you're going to think to yourself, oh, Edwards, you're wasting my time. And I do waste a lot of people's time, but I don't believe I'm wasting it now. which is on Disney Plus.
My ears.
Oh yes, you've got Disney Plus now, haven't you? Okay, so this is good. They've got Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers feature film.
So I saw that. I saw that. Go on. I saw that this morning, literally this morning. Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So the...
It's one of the most popular things on Disney Plus. It's become really popular. So I thought, right, you know, I'll give this a go. And I thought, why on earth am I watching this? And when you watch the first 5 minutes, it's like Chip and Dale voiceover saying how they became best friends at school. You know, they're these two little animated chipmunks. It's just like, why am I watching this? And suddenly it goes into the... You see them... It's basically not about them being the actual Rescue Rangers. It's a very self-aware comedy. It's about them being actors on the set of Rescue Rangers. Then it goes into the future, 15, 20 years into the future, and it's about them no longer being relevant in the industry and them being out-of-work actors. And one of them is making money by going to Comic-Con conventions. The other one now works in telesales.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's very self-aware. And really, basically, it's a modern Roger Rabbit where you've got human beings living alongside animated characters.
Oh, and you enjoyed it.
Very good. Very good. I mean, it's not the best film of the year, but certainly, you know, it's worth watching. It's a quirky little diamond, and it's by Lonely Island. You know that comedy troupe? The main guy in Lonely Island is Adam Sandberg. They came from Saturday Night Live. He did Hot Rod, stuff like that. They're behind it. They're okay. The people who wrote and directed it.
Okay.
And it's an interesting mix-up of stuff. So, for instance, one of them, I can't remember if it's Chip or Dale, he has, like, plastic surgery. Probably not. Probably not at all. And if someone sat me down and showed me a poster of Chip and Dale, I think 5 minutes later I'd forget anyway, so it'd be a waste of everyone's time. He has plastic surgery, and for an animated character, that plastic surgery means he's turned into CGI. So you've got a CGI Chip, and then a cell-animated Dale. So it's very self-aware.
Wow.
And
isn't
then you've
it
got
just...
a detective turning up who's in claymation. So you've got like an almost sort of Aardman animation character. Then you've got a CGI character. It's just like a complete smorgasbord of pop culture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
but you felt like it was written for you, possibly.
I certainly did.
Yeah.
Lots of like me... sort of laughing but nodding at the screen as I say, oh, I got that joke. I understand that. That's clever.
Exactly.
That's made me to feel as though I haven't wasted my life because I got that Sonic the Hedgehog gag.
I watched Luca this week.
What is
Pixar.
Luca?
Pixar Luca.
Oh, the underwater monster story.
Yeah.
Is that good? It's set in Italy, isn't it? In Vienna,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, Porto Rosso.
Oh, right. To be exact.
Yeah, yeah. I looked it up. I was, where's this? Where's this?
Where's
I found
setting?
It. Fantastic little place.
And because they go on to like research trips, Pixar, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Because
we watched Ratatouille last. We had a cinema. We have a cinema night at the weekend.
Oh, do you? Which night's that then? Can I let you settle down?
Either Saturday or Sunday. I'll tell you what we do. The boys have to go into their room for 5-10 minutes. And then we set up the lounge like a cinema.
Oh, wow.
We put a little desk out with a till, with tickets and then little treats. And they get so excited. Can we come out now? And
I feel excited just thinking.
Oh, they come
so
in
their bedroom, knowing a cinema is being created in their lounge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, Christmas is going to be an anti-climax, isn't it?
We give them this sort of fake money, gold coins. They then come in and, okay, what film are you coming to see? And they give us the money. I said, okay, there's your tickets. There's your snacks, whatever snacks you want. Then they sit down. And then bang, Luca. Oh, no, Ratatouille last week. Why did I tell you that? Oh, yeah, because, yeah, I looked up the location of, I mean, Paris looks, Naomi obviously lived in Paris. Well, obviously, she lived in Paris. So she knows it well. And she went, yeah, they definitely went on a recce for this.
Oh, quite amazing. Yeah, I think they take loads of photos, film it, don't they? They just really go. And then you see their studios and...
Yeah.
Where is Pixar? It's not in LA. It's, I think it's in San Francisco, or is it LA Pixar? I don't know.
I don't know.
But I think they're not in an obvious Hollywood location. But if you look at their studios, it's just filled with obviously photos of, you know, they've got like, I think they take loads of 380 degree kind of photos. You know, those are, I've seen them on their recces in documentaries. They don't have a camera. They have one of those tripods where they just put it in the middle of the location and it takes a 360 degree photo. And then you can always just sit in the actual place and just look around and study everything. And then zoom in because it's high definition photography.
Yeah.
It's almost like virtual reality, I guess. And then just zoom into it.
Yeah. So what's Ratatouille? I mean, a lot of my reviews are just going to be kids movies, to be honest with you.
There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with, I mean, Ratatouille, I thought was amazing. The animation in the sewer right at the beginning, just the fur and the water. And Ratatouille is quite old now. It's
unbelievable.
Been, you know,
10 years. There's a bit in Luca where they show a close-up of the Vespa, this little bike. So that might as well just be a bike. It's like, it's
That's
so
incredible.
Yeah, realistic.
Yeah. It's Luca good. I've not seen
it. I loved it. I had a look at the reviews afterwards and it's sort of a mixed bag. I was like, come on, this isn't a mixed bag. This is fucking brilliant. It might not have, it might be missing the emotional punch at the end, possibly.
I think the bar is so high for Pixar, isn't it?
In fact, yeah, anyway, the ending is identical to Brian and Charles. It's quite astonishing.
Oh, is it really? What friendship? Two people coming together?
Oh, just the last scene is just basically the same. It's so weird.
To tell the actual plot, is it a case of, so it's a young boy who's a sea monster?
Yeah, who wants something else.
Right, okay,
he wants to go onto the land, and the parents are like, you don't want to go out there, it's dangerous, human beings.
Does he then meet a normal boy when he's on there?
Yes, he does. He meets a normal boy in the ocean. He says, no, I'm fine, come with me, and sort of persuades him to go onto land. And when he exits the water, suddenly he turns from sea monster into little boy. And he has to learn to walk on the land. He's a bit Bambi-esque at the start. And then his parents find out. And because his parents find out, said, right, we're going to send you to your uncle's. He's going, no, you're not. And he runs away from home and he goes onto land with his mate. And then the adventure starts.
And does it turn into a type of road trip then? Because a lot of Pixar films have that, don't they? They've got some journey they literally
go
on.
No, there's a triathlon competition that they take part in to win a Vespa to travel around the world.
God,
it's interesting. So it's a swimming, eating pasta, and cycling around the town. Yeah.
God, it is interesting that a lot of their recent films have been about identity crises, haven't they? Because their most recent one, Turning Red, is always similar to that, isn't it? It's a young girl going through puberty, and then every time she gets embarrassed, she turns into a giant panda. It's almost that kind of like beast human being kind of duality. It's a similar kind of element. They're trying to obviously move off into a different direction because so many of their films at the beginning, not that they were poor, God, I wouldn't be able to write them, but it was very much buddy movies on a road trip, wasn't it? I mean, they're almost plane, trains and automobiles. Do you know what I mean? They're sort of like, because Toy Story, you've got to leave Andy's bedroom. It's a hero's journey, isn't it?
Yeah, Nemo. Was Nemo the same? And
finding Nemo. Literally, got to go on the road to find Nemo. You know.
But I enjoyed. I recommend Luca. I think it looks beautiful. It may not be up there with their best, but it's a fantastic couple of hours.
No, I'll definitely. Pixar's always top notch. Their new one is interesting, isn't it? Have you heard of Lightyear that comes out next Friday?
I haven't heard much about it.
Well, that's a bizarre take on a franchise in the sense that I think they're thinking Toy Story, because you've got to look after the stockholders, haven't you? There's people who want, you can come up with new original ideas, but you've got to keep the franchises going. They've done 4 Toy Stories now. So their new idea to keep that going is they've now done a film about the real astronaut that Buzz Lightyear was based on.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes. So it's not voiced by... who's the guy who voices Buzz Lightyear? This is a poor
Kevin Costner. Kevin Klein.
Not Kevin Costner.
Brian Denny.
It's not Brian Denny. It's not him.
Tim
That's
Allen.
Everyone gone now. There's no one I can
Tim
think
Allen.
Of. Tim Allen, you are totally right. It's done by Chris Evans, the guy who plays Captain America.
And he's got his own radio show.
Yeah, funny you say that. I always have that flip in my head. Every time someone says Chris Evans, the actor, I'm just thinking of a ginger bloke with Martin Kane glasses. I have to always get over that. It's been so assigned in my brain over the 90s, that name.
Oh, so that's what Lightyear is, it?
Yes.
Is it?
So it's all about the guy who actually inspired the toy. And a lot of people have said, is Lightyear going to have a toy astronaut from the film Lightyear? Well, that is Buzz Lightyear, and that would have been what Andy...
Yeah.
That's weird. It's like universes in universes now, isn't it? It's very, very strange.
If you wrote a song called Universes in Universes, how do you think it would go?
I'm in a universe, in a universe, but in another universe. Too many universes, only one man. Something like that. It's not great.
I'm in a universe, in a universe.
One man in a universe, in a universe. There's just too many universes.
I'm in a universe,
in a universe.
You joined this Saturday.
I'm trying to find a book there.
I just realised we were singing to
I know, I just kind of got lost with that. I was just being led along. This is how cults start, I think.
I'm in a universe.
In a universe. There's something there, isn't it? It's just believing in it. Have you seen the Beatles documentary yet?
I haven't, no. Well, when Get Back's created.
Yeah,
that felt like a Get Back moment, didn't it?
Universe. That did feel like that with Paul McCartney. But I just couldn't cut the chorus.
I'm singing, David.
I'm in a universe.
Okay. Well, thank you for your movie tip this week, which is?
Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers. Is that it?
It is. It just sounded funny coming out. Okay.
David Edwards, Random Film Generator.
This is where you choose three films randomly, and then you have to blindfoldedly pick one of them. Okay, so the genres are action, adventure, animation, crime, documentary, comedy, drama, family, fantasy, history, horror, music, mystery, romance, science fiction, TV, movie, thriller, war, western. I think I'm going to choose the genre each week.
Go for it.
And you can choose the year. Actually, we'll mix it up, and then the next one you can choose it. Okay.
There we go.
Right, so I'm going to go for... I'm going to go for thriller.
Excellent.
And what year would you like to?
I would say the teens. Let's go for the teens. So
2010s.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we random generate. Okay. Have you seen Hunter Killer?
No, I don't think I've even heard of Hunter Killer. What's that about?
Hunter Killer stars Gerard Butler and Gary Oldman.
Wow, is it like a... it's a thriller, I know that much, but...
Yeah, that's all I know. That's
Hunter
all
Killer.
I know.
God, that's it. Well, it's a good cast.
Yeah.
Particularly Gary Oldman. Hunter Killer.
Hunter Killer.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Okay, please choose a genre, David.
Okay, what about documentary? Give that one a whirl.
And I'm going to go for the 2000s.
Nice.
And generate. Home.
Is that about a guy who's into animation, or have I gone completely insane?
I don't think it is, no.
what's that one? Home. That is interesting.
Home is a French documentary film. The film is almost entirely composed of aerial shots of various places on Earth.
Wowzers. That sounds quite experimental, but up for it. Definitely up for it.
I bet it's fantastic. The English version was read by Glenn Close.
Oh, there you go. I'm in.
Yeah. Produced by Luc Besson.
Oh, there we are.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go for adventure, David, because I know you love it.
Oh, absolutely love an adventure. That's what I'm here for.
In the 2000s.
Maybe it's because every film is an adventure. It's a trick question.
Please tell me if you've seen The Golden Compass.
I have not seen The Golden Compass. I've not at all. No, I have never watched that.
Okay.
They did the one film, didn't they? It's the start of a franchise.
That's lovely. Okay, The Golden Compass. I absolutely love it when you haven't seen the film. It's rare. Why is it exciting?
I've watched some of the TV show, but I've never watched the actual movie. It was Nicole Kidman, wasn't it? It was a big
bucket. Daniel Craig, Sam Elliott. Ian McKellen.
Oh, Sam Elliott was in it.
Yeah.
Is Ian McKellen in it? That's interesting. That's the voice of the polar bear. That's that's a big actor, isn't it?
Okay. So, I've got the three films here, which you have to choose one of them blindfoldedly, if that's a word.
Here we go.
Are you going to choose? I've mixed them up a bit.
Right.
A, B, or C?
I will go for C.
Home.
Experimental documentary time. Here we go. Get rid of Rumble.
How do you feel about having to watch aerial footage of Earth?
When it was first described to me, I was like, God, this just sounds like something you have in the background at the Tate. Doesn't sound like a feature film.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like sort of what a DJ would have behind him whilst mixing the discs or whatever type of thing. But I'll certainly give it a whirl. I mean, Glenn Close has always got something to say for herself. So
yeah.
I'm sure she's like imparting a few Attenborough-style facts to me about climate change and
population. I'll tell you what, it's got amazing reviews.
Oh, has it really? I've never heard of it. Yeah, home. And Luc Besson, I mean, you know, he's not doing too well for himself these days. He's part of the Me Too hashtag generation. I think he's been inappropriate with his female staff. But then
Okay, not everywhere.
Leave that there.
Home delivers some of the most stunning photography of our planet ever seen.
Sign me up. I'm up for being woed. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Having a new sense of Mother Nature Earth around me, I'm always up for that.
Honestly, I can't get enough. I want to do this every week on Radio 6 with you.
Oh, absolutely. Let's make it happen. That needs to be the pipe dream that keeps us going.
I think you're a little bit gutted. I think you're feeling like this is homework.
It could potentially be that because you're not really going to be following a character on a journey. I could be.
Who knows? You don't know.
No, you don't. I bet
it'll sweep you off your feet and you'll go, wow. Wowzers.
It's one of those things, isn't it? It's a case of if I wanted to have familiar ground, it'd be The Golden Compass. But then again, that did get terrible reviews. It was supposed to be the start of a trilogy.
Right.
But part of me is like Nicole Kidman, CGI monkey, and a golden compass. I can go with that. Sit there with my lunch, bowls of cereal, and just chew and watch that.
But now you're going to sit down on a Sunday evening, all quiet and cozy, and watch and thoughtful, and watch Home.
Absolutely, learn, see the world from a different perspective, which is what cinema's all about, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, David, for this week's movie chat.
No, thank you, sir. Thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely loved it.
Absolutely.
So I'm not about next week, but I'll be around the following week.
And I'll be here with a review of Home, the Luc Besson, Glenn Close classic.
It's really on your mind.
Oh, it really is. It's like, right, straight onto Google, let's find that. Let's see what that's, let's look at the trailer, give me a taster of what I'm going to be dealing with. High up shots of cameras attached to birds, I imagine. This is what I'm thinking.
For 3 hours.
For 3 hours of a lot of techno beat music or classical pipe music.
No, it's going to be great.
Glenn will get me through it. She'll take me by the hand.
She will. She will.
She'll give me lots of interesting facts.
And there is the shard.
Oh, absolutely.
And over there. Anyway, thank you very much, David.
No, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Love See you next it. Time.
Next time, can't wait.
Hello. If you'd like a bit more of this podcast, then come over to patreon.com/DavidL, and we do about another 25 minutes, half an hour, and we get members of Patreon, lovely members of Patreon, to ask, send in their questions for David, movie related, and he answers them. So if you fancy a bit of that, come over there. And cheers. And more stuff. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.